Bob Gardner to talk about Washington seminar first, and then once you're done with that, we do have a resolution regarding some of the things you're going to talk about, and then after that, we're going to talk about some of our Braille programs that we have in the state. So you can, if you would come on and talk about Washington seminar. And Debbie, are you still here? Okay, I probably need you up here as well with the resolution.
There we go. Good afternoon. Hey, you guys awake? Okay. I'm going to talk about the Washington seminar. I'm sure you've been waiting all afternoon to hear this, right? But anyway, the Washington seminar, let's start at the very beginning. There may be a few people here, we've been talking about it, and they probably wonder, what is Washington seminar? Once a year at the end of January, beginning of February, every state affiliate sends representatives to Washington, D.C. to lobby with their congressmen, their representatives, and their senators. And we are given three issues that all of us will talk to. We're given those three issues by our national headquarters in Baltimore. And we in Illinois, we usually send around eight or nine representatives from our state affiliate, and we go back to Washington, usually in the middle of winter, into January, and we talk to all our representatives. We have 19 representatives, we have two senators, we have 21, and we, in 2 days, we have appointments with all 21 congressmen. So it's a busy time. It takes a lot of organization. Just to give you a flavor of this, I'm only going to talk here for a few minutes. I want to give you just a flavor of what the issues are, or what the issues can be. We don't know what the issues are going to be for the Washington seminar in 2017, but I'll talk to you a little bit about just a thumbnail sketch of the issues that we did at the last one, this last January. The one that was talked about was the transition to integrated, let me think about this, meaningful employment, right? Yes, it's a confusing title to me because it really has to do with minimum wage. And anyway, believe it or not, there is a provision in the Fair Labor Standards Act, something that was passed back in the 1930s that allows organizations and agencies to come in and get a certificate from the Department of Justice that allows them to hire disabled people and not pay them minimum wage. As far as I know, we, the disabled, are the only group that's singled out to be allowed to be legally paid less than minimum wage. And we're talking here disabled, not just blind, but all disabled. So it's not a blindness issue, it's a disabled issue. Obviously, we don't like this. It does nothing for expectations. We always talk about low expectations. I don't like it because you've got too many people at the top making good money, and they have disabled employees making $2 an hour or a dollar and a half an hour, some ridiculous amount of money like that. That's been one issue we've lobbied for. This actually was actually a bill on the floor of Congress, on the floor of the House, and we've lobbied for that for several years. Another one that we talked about and lobbied for was the accessible instructional materials in higher education. Again, you've heard many times here at this convention about the difficulty of students in college getting accessible school material. Part of the problem here is that there's really no standards out there. What this bill would do was the purpose of the bill was to establish a standard set of standards for accessible school material. The problem you have now is it's sort of a hodgepodge. A school will say it's getting accessible material. It thinks it's accessible, but they find out it really isn't accessible, and they're using something different than the university in the next state, and the colleges don't know what to do, and everybody's getting sued because they got stuff that's they think is accessible and it really isn't. And the problem is you if you could just have that a good set of guidelines, then everybody would be on the same wavelength, or the publishers are probably would be happy to do that, because they would know then what they're supposed to produce. You know, they're coming out with school books and they would like to know, okay, I'm supposed to make this accessible. So we would like to give them some guidelines that would be nationwide. Another issue that we talked about in the past was the help me with this one. All of a sudden I'm getting a
space available.
Yeah. All of a sudden my brain froze up on there. So the Space Available Act. there is a law that says if you are an active military or retired military, you can ride on military aircraft if there is space available. The problem here is that there are disabled veterans, people who, because of their disability, had to leave military service, but they cannot fit into that category because what? They're neither active nor were they able to retire. They weren't able to retire because they were disabled. So our bill would allow these people, these disabled veterans, to be able to ride a military aircraft if they so desired on a space availability standard, or can't think of the word I'm looking for. But you get the idea. I would like to conclude this by talking about the upcoming Washington seminar. It won't be too long before the NFB of Illinois, will be asking for people to apply who want to go to Washington seminar. It is an application process. Those who apply are not guaranteed that they're going to be selected to go, where there's only a limited number of spots. We also want to mix up what our delegation looks like. We'd like to have some people who've been there before with experience. We'd like to have some newcomers. We want students. We want people from Chicago. We want people from downstate. We want minorities. We want the elderly, blah, blah, blah. You get the idea. So, but anyway, the application process will be coming up fairly soon. And usually the applications have to be in by December 1st. The decision on who's going to go is done before Christmas. And then we get ourselves out there at the end of January. And it's usually, like I say, it's about a 2 or 3 day jaunt out in Washington, D.C. And it's not a sightseeing tour. You are walking around. You are doing 21 appointments in 2 days. You don't have much time to gander at anything out there unless you stay over on your own. So anyway, that would conclude my talk on Washington Seminar.
Bob?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm distracted for a minute, but did you mention Marrakesh?
No, I didn't mention Marrakesh.
Well, we better do that.
Okay.
Scott LaBar would be really
disappointed. Okay. He's not in the audience, is he?
Well.
No, okay. But he's probably listening. Yeah, another one we talked about was the Marrakesh Treaty, and I'll tell you why I didn't bring that one up in particular. But anyway, the Marrakesh Treaty is an international treaty that would allow the free access, the free travel of accessible material across national borders. Right now, with copyright laws, this really gets in the way. For example, if somebody in Ireland would come up with something accessible, and we wanted it in this country, we may not be able to get it because of the copyright laws in Ireland or Germany or wherever, Poland, South America. Anyway, the Marrakesh Treaty says that these would people would allow this material to freely flow across national borders. One of the reasons I didn't quite bring it up because this is one of the things I learned in going to this is a treaty, and you know how a treaty is ratified. I didn't know how a treaty was ratified. It's ratified not by Congress. It's ratified only by the Senate. And I believe it has to be, I can't remember, is it two-thirds? Two-thirds, yeah. And unfortunately, in our with our Senate, which is about 50-50, right? Yeah, trying to get two-thirds is like, who knows? But anyway, we are going to keep working on it because that is something that would really, really help us. I've seen a one statistic that says that we do not see in this country 95% of the accessible material that's out there in the world right now.
Thank you, Bob. Our resolutions committee yesterday had three resolutions, and you've heard about the first two. We have a third resolution dealing with the Aim High bill, and I'm going to ask Debbie to read that resolution. This is non-controversial, so I'm going to, after she reads it, I'm going to call for a motion in a second and move on from there. Debbie? Debbie needs a mic.
There we go. Okay. yeah, back a teeny bit. Okay. This is Resolution 2016 Oath Number 3. Whereas the National Federation of the Blind endeavors always to achieve full inclusion of blind people in the experience, benefits, and opportunities to contribute through higher education, and whereas we have sought legislation to that end by inclusive collaboration with stakeholders, including the Association of American Publishers, the American Council on Education, EDUCAUSE, I don't know how that's pronounced, EDUCAUSE, registered trademark, the Software and Information Industry Association, and, of course, organizations who democratically represent the print disabled, and whereas the solution to more fully realize the requirements of the Americans with Disabilities Act and the Rehabilitation Act as applied to electronic accessibility has been arrived at through input and negotiation of these stakeholders, along with the NFB, in the form of the accessibility, it does say accessibility, instructional materials in higher education, AIM High, we pronounce it, but it's spelled AIM H-E, or AIM High, spelled AIM High Act, authorizing a purpose-based commission having representation from stakeholders in order to craft optional guidelines for higher education institutions. And whereas Congressman Phil Rowe of Tennessee, understanding the validity, necessity, and justice of this act, has committed to introduce AIM High to the U.S. House of Representatives. Now, be it resolved this 29th day of October 2016, that this Illinois affiliate, in solidarity with our national organization, further commend Congressman Rowe's commitment to introduce the AIM High bill to Congress, and furthermore, to urge the Illinois members of Congress to consider and grant a floor vote to pass this bill, which would better afford the blind and print disabled equal right of access to higher education than is experienced today. Thanks.
Okay, Jamal moves. Do pass. I heard a second. Who is that? Hostalis seconds. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. The resolution passes. Thank you very much, Resolutions Committee.